A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud, Chulin Chav Dalid, Chulin 24a, pagination is 47. And we'll start just above midway on the page, Masnisin at the end of the line, the new Mishnah. The subject matter at the end of the first parak of Chulin for a number of blat is contrasts between almost similar topics. And this seems to have been a fascinating way and a lesson for us of how to remember things that otherwise might be confused. You actually embrace the difference, and this way you remember it and you don't get confused. On the facing page, for example, we have a Mishnah, Kasha Bepara Pasol Be'egla Kasha Be'egla Pasol Bepara. What's going to be the proper way of bringing a para aduma is the wrong way for an egla arufa. And the right way for egla arufa is the wrong way for para aduma. Just as we had, for example, shchita and malika contrast by a bird, so para aduma and egla arufa are both brought outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but the para aduma is being shecht in a normal way, and the Egla Arufa, the specific rule is that it be decapitated, it's being chopped. And that's the case, if you'll recall, at the end of Parshas Shoftim, where a person was found killed, V'lo noda mihikahu, we don't know who killed him, and there's a whole ritual to make a fuss over it. On a very basic level, just that it should be taken seriously that this person was killed and this animal is decapitated. It's similar to Para Aduma, it's outside the Beis HaMikdash, but by embracing the difference, we remember how this one is done and how the other one is done. The Mishnah we're focused on today's daf does a contrast between Kohanim and Leviim. Again, two groups that the average person might confuse. They're both designated, they're both special, they're both in the service of God on a very special, high-level way, but they're different rules. Kasha b'Kohanim pasul b'Leviim. When it's kasha by Kohanim, it could well be pasul by Leviim. Kasha b'Leviim, pasul b'Kohanim, and what's kasha by Leviim could well be pasul by Kohanim. And the Gemara explains, Tana Rabbanan, we learnt, Kohanim b'mumin psulim b'shanim kesherim. By a Kohen, a blemish on his body could make him invalid, depending on what type of blemish. In terms of age, though, as long as he could still do the service, he's fine. There's no cutoff age-wise. Leviim, on the other hand, b'mumim kisherim, when it comes to a mum, they're still kosher, b'shanim psulim, but they become invalid through age. And the Gemara quotes the psukim that there's a concept of 30 to 50 in years of age for the Levi to be in service, and there's also a concept of starting at age 25. What's that age 25, which is 5 years earlier than the start of 30? So the Gemara will explain that there's a period of apprenticeship where the Levi would be able to do the service sometimes and be support and learn. He's involved, but he's not actually entrusted in the service until the age of 30. If you drop down about the last third of the page, Asher LaKohanim is the beginning of the line, and then we enter the Gemara, Yochal Af B'Shilo Uves Olamim Kain. I would think that this 30 to 50 requirement of age, and therefore invalidating the Levi, applies even in the Beis HaMikdash, Talmud Lomar, so we're told, Lavad avodas avoda va'avodas masa. It has to do with the carrying, with the temporary nature of the Mishkan. Lo amarti lebizman shu avoda ba'kosef. I only told you this rule at the time when you're carrying the Mishkan. But at a time when you're not carrying the Mishkan, these age requirements are not imposed. Nevertheless, there is an important rule, an attitude, a concept that we do learn from the ages that are described, and that's in the Gemara right now. Kosuv echad omer, one pasuk says, Miben chamesh ve'esrim shana v'mala, from 25 years and up, v'kosuv echad omer, and another pasuk says, Miben shloshim, from 30, is it 25 or is it 30? Haketzad, let me explain it to you. Chafhei lilmot, at 25 you study. Ushloshim la'avoda, but at 30 you actually do the avoda, or perhaps the wording would be to be entrusted with the avoda. Mikan, from here we learn, l'talmud shelo ra siman yofe b'mishnaso. A student that has not seen a good sign in his learning, for hey shanim, for 5 years, shaveno roe, he's not going to see. In all probability, there's a problem here. That's the statement of the Gemara. You have to know when to apply it. They say that someone came to the stipler and said that he doesn't see success in his learning. And the stipler says, where were you 5 years ago in your learning? Person said, was barely able to read, whatever, and now he's made progress, now he's learning Kutzer Shulchan Aruch. So the stipler says, that's not no success. You have to gauge success. You're having success. It's interesting, the wording of the Gemara is Simen Yofe. We just need a good sign. We need to see some progress, that you're moving in a direction, that things are happening. Now, Rashi over here says, Shelo ra'a siman yafe, he says, lomed v'shocho. He's learning and he's forgetting, which at first glance is a scary thing because lots of people learn and forget. However, I think that sometimes we get a false negative reading, or I guess positive reading, if it's like a throat culture, whatever, a bad reading we sometimes get, but it's not really a bad reading. It's an incorrect reading. It's a false reading, because if a person doesn't chazer, he doesn't review, of course he forgets. The Gemara itself calls Torah uf, based on the pasuk. It's something that flies away from you, like a bird, if you don't constantly review it and retain it. So we have to be careful whether the person really is incapable. But there is such a description that in 5 years, if you're not seeing something, which basically means for us that if you invest 5 years, pretty for sure, you're going to see success. There's an interesting statement, I believe, in Avista Reb Nosson, that Eliyahu HaNavi once met, I believe it was a fisherman, and asked him why he doesn't study Torah. So the fisherman said, I can't. So Eliyahu HaNavi says to him, "And what do you mean you can't? And who taught you how to catch fish and make nets? That you can do, and Torah you can't. Doesn't make sense." So I think that sometimes we sell ourselves short prematurely. The take-home from this Gemara to me is that if you invest 5 years, you'll succeed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi said, Gimel Shanim. The number over here should be 3 years, based on a pasuk in Daniel, Ulegadlim Shanim Shalosh. For 3 years, they were trained in the language, and the Gemara makes a distinction, whether that's harder or easier, etc. But it's interesting, that would actually be the expression that we have. 3 to 5 years. How long is it going to take to see the results of the decision we're making today? It's a 3 to 5 year plan. And that's in this Gemara as well. As far as a Kohen goes, so we said that age does not really play a role in his qualification. And indeed, six lines up, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned, Kohen Mishayavish de Cyrus, from the time that he gets here as a simon of adulthood, Achayazkin, until he's old, Kosher Lavoda, he's kosher. On Amud Beis, Achayazkin, on the second line, until he gets old, what's that about? At Kama, at what age? Amar Rabbi Lo, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Achayirses, until he's shaky, until he's not able to do the avoda properly. But otherwise, Kohen is kosher regardless of his age once he's a adult. One observation, the Mishnah in Avos, the Mefarshim point out, is matching the concept of this Gemara that it takes 5 years to become proficient. The Mishnah describes that you allocate 5 years for Chumash, perhaps for Tanakh. You allocate another 5 years for Mishnah, and then you start Talmud. So that Mikra is at 5, Mishnah is at 10, Talmud is at 15, and these are 5-year increments to become proficient in Chumash and in Mishnah. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.